Okay, well, this morning we gather together and worship our Lord, and if you're visiting with us, I see a couple of kiddos I may not have seen before, but if anybody's visiting with us, you know, we love to welcome people to Lake Country Bible Church, and ask you to look in the hymnal slot in front of you. There should be an envelope with a little form filled out. Let us know who you are, and just let us know a little bit about you, and you can just slip it in the offering box there by the door on the way out today. Again, I thank you for joining us in worship, and let's go into a little prayer and some Bible reading.
We'll go through the announcements. And this just in from Linda. That's my Fox blurb. This just in. Linda has announced that there's some new protocols that will be take place all throughout the year in 2023 as where Samaritan's Purse ministry is concerned. Rather than try to collect things all at the end of the year all at once, the ladies felt like it would probably be better to collect as we go through the year and as interest arises. You see something, you like something, get it then, and then you don't have to worry about rushing around and getting it later. Also, Linda has also informed me that on the table, above the box in which he would place the items for Samaritan's Purse, it's a clear plastic box, tub, if you will, under the table, on the table is some farm produce. Help yourself. Everybody's welcome. There's some onions and taters and maybe a sweet potato or two. Have at it. Prayer meeting every morning, 0900 here in the right-hand assembly room. Everybody is welcome for that. Right before Sunday school, women's Bible study resumes this Tuesday night at 6:30. Terry will be leading the study in the book of Joshua. All women are invited, of course. Wednesday night service, prayer and Bible study at 6 o'clock. Men's prayer group meets this Friday at the Red Dome. And Ray North will lead the men's prayer and discussions, and we just have a real nice breakfast if they can find the eggs. From what I hear, eggs are short. No eggs are going to show up back there on a regular basis. Are they, Linda? You think they might? Okay. This coming Saturday, the 8th of January, will be an opportunity to take the Christmas decorations down, stow them away for another year. That takes place about 9:30. And the annual business meeting will take place on the 15th of January for Lake Country Bible Church. All members are encouraged to attend so that you're informed. And, of course, next Sunday will be a council meeting. Yes. Well, I stand corrected. It's just in. Did everybody get that the 8th will not be the date for taking down Christmas decorations? Further enjoyment is encouraged. Okay. Let's join our hearts and minds together in prayer, if you will, please. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, blessed by your truth are all who call upon your name. Thus we gather to worship your name. Our songs bring praise and our hearts and minds are here and present and ready to receive your word. Lord, we begin this new year with a concerned awareness of alarming events which are consistent in spirit and deed with eternally intelligent evil. Yet grateful should we be as your children by faith and by your indwelling to read and hear of your plans and purposes at work all around us, steadily and assuredly witnessed and seen, recorded through the ages. Yes, Lord, your word reveals your ways and the manners by which you inspired all who wrote of your promises, your mercies, and your righteousness declared upon all who believed the apostles' report. And thereby faith gives hope, as the scriptures foretold the object of our hope, and that is none other than the glorious appearing of our Savior and Messiah, Christ Jesus. Lord, we know that the hour is late, and now your children must ready ourselves to give an account to those who knew you not, who know you not, lest they perish for lack of knowledge of your plan of salvation. We must work the works of our Heavenly Father, for the scriptures do tell us his work is that we believe in him whom he sent. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, yet he that hath not the Son hath not life. Lord, we ask you this morning to open our eyes to opportunities, bless our studies and our speech, and pray our preparation for the war over the souls of friends and family and neighbors that we yet do not know. May we be faithful in our work, that we be not ashamed. Lord, we next turn our ears to hear your message this morning. We ask that you bless it to bear the fruit that you desire in your intended time. May it also bless those who listen from afar and who are absent from us. And according to your will, we ask that you restore them to fellowship and shared worship of our God, who are most high. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe this morning we're in Revelation chapter 20. Be it all known, I no longer have to remove my glasses to read the scripture. If you say so. That was very frustrating on my part, believe me. Revelation 20, verse 1, we'll read through verse 10. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the prophet, the false prophet, are. And they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever.
It is good to see you here. Some people must have stayed up late last night, ushering in the new year. We had some family come in just for the nationally recognized midnight parade that Grants Lane has every New Year's Eve. Needless to say, they're probably still... They've been doing that in Grants Lane for years, I know. Most of the time we've been living there, they've carried on with this parade. Everybody joins in on it. I mean, people, say everybody, most people join in on it. The police join in on it. The fire department joins in on it. We even have had a couple of years, two houses burned to the ground because the fire department was in the parade. So, explain that to me if you would. We are sparse. God knows. God knows I can't get it. Got it. We'll be looking at the last war. The war we study about this morning. That takes place, there will be no more wars. We are headed on the down home streak, if you would, for our lesson. We still have about four lessons to go, but today we'll be looking at the last war, the second battle of Gog and Magog. Let's look to the Lord's word of prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you so much for today. What a beautiful, beautiful New Year's Day we had to greet us as the sun came up. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Father, in that sunshine and in that beautiful sky, Father, I got just real, not only enjoyment, but encouragement. Just thinking that this year, 2023, the rapture could very well occur. So, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness in providing for this little church. Father, for those who minister here and stand in the gap and meet the needs that we have here. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, your love. Father, a love that we'll never, I believe, understand this side of heaven, and maybe not even to heaven. In heaven will we understand the love that you have for us, poor, dirty, rotten, old, helpless, in and of themselves, sinners. Father, I am in that category, leading the pack. Thank you so much, Father, for the free gift of eternal life, your indwelling Holy Spirit, Father, for the good teaching that we have here in this church. Father, we ask you to guide our thoughts today as we look at this subject of the last war. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The last war, the second battle of Gog and Magog. It's interesting. We had the first battle of Gog and Magog, which dealt with Russia and her allies coming up to go against Jerusalem. This second battle of Gog and Magog, although it shares the name or part of the name of the first battle of Gog and Magog, does not include Russia. We'll see and understand why, but the reasons are the same. the sinfulness of mankind. In this chart we have here that is not to scale at all, if you look real close over to, I forgot my punishment stick I've got here. If you look way over to the end, you can see the second battle of Gog and Magog. It occurs towards the end of this tribulation, or the millennial reign of Christ. There will be another occurrence following that, and that will be the great white throne judgment. We'll be looking at that in the weeks to come. We find in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 9, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. God's going to go out and he's going to draw people from all over the earth and around the globe and bring them together for a battle. And they went up, as we continue in Revelation. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. This is the last battle that will ever be waged in this world that is recorded in the Word of God. And I believe that there will be no other wars ever fought in the future after this second battle of Gog and Magog. We know other wars, whether spiritual or material. What is this battle not? One of the best ways in which to learn about a subject is to first find out what the subject is not. There will be many battles in the future, and to keep them separated in our thinking, let us consider first what the second battle of Gog and Magog is not. It is not the first battle of Gog and Magog. By this, we mean the battle, Revelation 20, is not the battle of Gog and Magog found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. The battle of Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 is fought during the tribulation period, while the second battle of Gog and Magog is waged at the close of the millennium. The first battle is fought between Russia and the Antichrist, while the second is fought between unbelievers and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the battle in heaven. The battle in heaven takes place in the heavens, while the second battle of Gog and Magog is located at Jerusalem in Palestine. The battle in heaven is fought between spirit beings, the devil and his angels, Michael and his angels. Those will be the combatants. While the second battle of Gog and Magog is fought between human beings. The battle in heaven resulted in the ousting of Satan from heaven. While the second battle of Gog and Magog ends with the casting of Satan into the lake of fire. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." This second battle of Gog and Magog is not the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon takes place at the end of the tribulation, while the second battle of Gog and Magog is fought at the close of the millennium. Armageddon's foes are the Lord Jesus Christ and the Antichrist, while the last battle's foes are the Lord Jesus Christ and unbelievers who live 1,000 years after the Antichrist. What is this battle, the second battle of Gog and Magog? Well, since we've eliminated the three other future wars, we know now for certainty what it is, when it will be fought, and what its results are. As to its disclosure, the one who organizes the enemy's army is the devil. For 1,000 years, men have lived without being influenced by the devil. He's been incarcerated, if you would. The devil has been chained in the bottomless pit during the millennium. For 1,000 years, he's been there, and now, at this time, he's loosed. Why God allows the devil his freedom for a little season, we don't know, only that all things are working and shall work out for the glory of God. It's interesting, as I have had opportunity to sit under good, godly teachers in years past, it's always amazed me in that man left alone descends into debauchery and sin when he's left alone. Here, even in the presence of good, men are not confronted with the gospel. They descend into debauchery more and more into sin. Here we find Satan's been incarcerated for 1,000 years. Man can't at this time blame Satan for their debauchery and sin. You see, it's the evilness in every one of us, in our hearts, in our inner being, in this old natural body. It just cannot do anything but descend into further into sin. The devil will find untold thousands who despise the Lord Jesus, who will follow his leadership even to the attempt to overthrowing Christ's earthly city. Their number is described as the sand of the sea. Right here is where many questions will arise. Who are the people? They're unbelievers, never trusted Christ, living under the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Christ. They're still unbelievers. How do they get into the millennium? We thought that no man but the saved will enter into the kingdom. And that's true. They get into the kingdom or the millennium by being born of believing parents who came out of the tribulation alive. It's a sad part that we see this even today. Believing parents who have trusted at some point in their life in the Lord Jesus Christ, marry, have children, they never share the gospel with their kiddos. Never. What a sad situation that is. That's the situation during this time. The kingdom, believing parents, come into the millennial reign of Christ, have children that never trust Christ as their personal Savior. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 20, is very clear that there shall be babies born during the millennium. And as these children grow up, they must be born again, or they will be cut off. Isaiah chapter 65, in verse 20, we read, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days, for the child shall die, and 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be cut off." How old will these unbelievers be? Well, they're going to be 99 years and younger. Why will they want to overthrow Christ? Well, simply because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it's not subject to the law of God. Neither, indeed, can it be. These people have never been saved, and thus they follow their father, the devil, even though he's been chained for 1,000 years. John chapter 8, verse 44, sheds some light on this, where he says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. You might say, I just can't understand how Christ can be reigning for 1,000 years in perfection, and yet there will be untold thousands which will not believe that he is the Son of God. I do not say it. The Scriptures say it. And as far as understanding it, we can't even understand how the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven nearly 2,000 years ago. The gospel has been preached for that length of time. The saints have influenced the world for good. The Holy Spirit has been here indwelling believers also. I didn't put that down. Yet there are more unbelievers in the world today than there were at the time of Christ, simply because people just don't duplicate themselves in sharing the gospel with the unsaved. We know that the army is composed of unbelievers, but will they also come out of Russia, as did the army of the first battle of Gog and Magog? No, because Russia's been completely defeated before the millennium ever began. Revelation 20, verse 8 states that the army shall be conscripted from the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Revelation 20, verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. As Gog and Magog were against God, so this army shall copy after them in name and defiance. Will any Jews be included in the army of Gog and Magog? No. Because Revelation chapter 20, verse 8 states that the army is drawn from the nations of the world. A better word for nations is Gentiles. No Jews, just Gentiles. No Jews will be among these unbelievers, as the tribulation has cured forever Israel's sin of unbelief. Even as Israel came out of the Babylonian captivity free from idolatry, she shall come out of Jacob's trouble free from the rejection of Christ. God's word tells us that all Israel shall be saved before the millennium begins. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What about the defeat of this group of Gentiles that God has drawn from around the world? Excuse me. There will not be much of a battle, for the army shall not be arrayed as in Armageddon, nor the saints mustered for this conflict. This massive army, composed of men, women, from all over the world, will gather for the last conflict at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of the King, where Christ shall place his throne and rule the world. It is the capital of the world at this time. The devil will influence the unbelievers to think that they should, should they capture the capital, the whole kingdom will capitulate. They will surround the beloved city. There will be no expression of fear on the saints' part. For if God be for us, who shall be against us? Not a bow shall be drawn, not a spear hurled. There will be no need. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The army will be completely destroyed. And as far as mankind is concerned, not a single enemy of God is left following this battle. How does it end? Revelation 20, verse 10 tells us, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Thus the end of the devil, cast into the lake of fire, prepared for him. Matthew 25, verse 41 says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Two of the devil's followers who have preceded him 1,000 years will be waiting for him, waiting for his arrival in that place of torment. The Antichrist and the false prophet will be waiting for him. The devil will never be allowed to roam the universe again. He will never be redeemed. He is forever doomed. There in hell shall he await all the wicked dead, who shall be raised immediately after he's cast into the lake of fire. What a gang that'll be. The devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil's angels, and all the unsaved, without hope, without God, forever doomed. And that is the end of our lesson for today. We ought to be so thankful as God's children. We don't face this kind of future. God has prepared a place for us that is far better than any we can ever imagine here on this earth. Far better than any amount of money could ever buy, purchase, or build. God has prepared us a place to dwell forever with Him. What a gracious, loving, kind God that we have as our Heavenly Father. Wouldn't it be great if each one of us would share with those around us, especially those in our own household, how they can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, know assured that this terrible, terrible future that awaits all those who refuse to accept Christ, they can avoid it, spend eternity in heaven with Christ, God Himself, the angels, and all those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so grateful, Father, for the sin payment that you made through Christ, that you were pleased with. Father, that He died and took our punishment so that we wouldn't have to. Father, that you give us eternal life as a free gift when we simply place our faith and trust in His death on the cross to get us to heaven. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who indwells us, leads, guides, and directs. Thank you for your word that you've left behind for us to profit by, to live by, to be encouraged by, to be motivated by. Father, thank you so much for it. Father, we do thank you for other godly people who love you, and Father, who we can love and they can love us, and Father, we can be used of you as a tool to see other people come to know Christ as their Savior. Father, you've been so good to us here in our little church. Father, we do ask, Father, for new people and new members, Father, that we might have fellowship with them and they with us. Father, we ask now as we finish up this morning's service that you would draw to mind, our minds, every mind, Father, how good you are to us. And Father, that we may rejoice in that. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning is our Lord's Supper morning. And I have it this morning. I requested it, not knowing that it was going to be the first Sunday of the new year. But God does things like that. I want to read to you here, keeping in mind that this celebration, if you would, of Christ's death, payment, salvation, our salvation, is a time of remembrance. Of remembrance of maybe who we were before trusting Christ. A remembrance of the salvation that we have accepted, received, and rejoice in. Having Christ pay our sin debt payment for us. Having God give us eternal life. Having God place His Spirit within us. It's a time of remembrance. I think it's also a time not only of remembrance, but it's a time of rejoicing. But it's more than that. It's a time where we can reflect. We reflect on all that God is, all that God has done, all that we have to look forward to. We can reflect on that. But also, it's a time of reflection. You see, we're still here in this old earthly body. It's never changed. The desires of the flesh never change. Always remain the same. And we, as other people around us, we fall short many times what God would have us to be. Some people call it mistakes that we make in our walk with Him. Let's just be real honest. It's just plain old sin. It could be a sin of attitude. It could be a sin of laziness, lackadaisical. It could be a sin of disinterest in those that need to know Christ and we have an opportunity to minister to. It could be any number of things. It would be wrong of me to begin to name because it would take all afternoon and night and then we would not even have scratched the surface. But it's time for us to reflect on those. And if you would, let me use the vernacular. It's time for us, gives us an opportunity to do business with God, our Heavenly Father, who knows who we are, how we failed Him, gives us an opportunity to go to Him in reflection and asking forgiveness and rejoicing in the fact that these sins are paid in full also. So let's do that for just a few moments. I'll give you an opportunity as well as myself to reflect on all of the goodness, but also reflect on how we failed Him and confess. Agree with God. That's all confession is. Just agree with God that those things are wrong. God's Word tells us that when we do that, He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's reflect in silent prayer, and then I will conclude this service this morning. Let's go to the Lord. Do thank You that we are Your children. Father, that we are destined to be with You forever and ever in that special place that You've prepared for us. Father, we thank You that we can come having remembered the things and the times in which we failed You. And Father, that we have agreed with You that You're just not real pleased with those things. Father, those are the things that nailed Your Son to the cross. So Father, we confess those to You, agree with You that they're wrong. And Father, we thank You for Your forgiveness. We ask now Your presence as we continue this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Can I get a couple of men to come and help, please? I'm going to read a little bit to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to begin in 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 23, reading For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Gentlemen, if you would. I think that probably most of us are aware of how you open these communion cups, and it is the bread at the top. You take and just peel back that peeling on the top. That will reveal the bread. And then, go ahead, gentlemen. And then when we partake of the grape juice, you just pull that off the top of the cup. And we'll be taking the elements together. Given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And Wesley, if I could, I would ask you to return thanks for this representation of his blood, which he shed on the cross. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The containers can be dropped in the wastebasket there by the door. As you exit, let me say this. What a pleasure it's been to be with you this morning. And to enjoy the things of God with rejoicing. And it's good to see you every Sunday. You're dismissed.